Good morning, church. So this is the season of Advent, the season of expectant waiting. And we know that right now we're waiting, in a sense, we're waiting for what we know already has happened. We're waiting for the celebration of Christ's birth, because we know how this story ends. So here, Jesus has been teaching both his 12, and now he's also teaching others. He's going from town to town teaching. And John is in prison. So note that this is John the Baptist. He's in prison. And it's kind of strange because John's in prison, but instead of worrying about himself, he's got a question. He sends his disciples, he sends his students to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come?" John's waiting for something. He's expecting something. And he's saying to Jesus, through his disciples, "Are you him?" Who's the him he's talking about? So one of the things we need to remember is that the Jews in the Old Testament, God was close to them. God's voice was speaking to them through the prophets. But the last prophet was Malachi. The last book of the Old Testament is the last book because Malachi was the last prophet. Jews today believe that with Malachi, the prophetic voice of God to their people stopped. And Malachi was 400 years ago in Jesus' time. So the Jews had their Tanakh, their Old Testament, the words of God. But God had stopped speaking to them 400 years ago. But God had promised that he's going to return. So in Malachi 3:1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. See, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So God has taken away his voice from the Jewish people. He stopped talking to them because they weren't listening. But God told them that he's going to come back, that he, the Lord, is going to come back. But before he comes back, he's going to send a messenger to prepare the way. So John's asking, are you one of these? Are you the messenger? Are you preparing the way for God to come back? Or what are you? And now, this is how Jesus answers. So Jesus' answer to this man in prison who wants to know, "Who are you?" Jesus replies, "Go back and report to John," because he's talking to his disciples. "Report what you hear and see." So instead of giving John words, he tells John's disciples, "Here's the evidence. Here's things that you can see. Here's what people have seen. I'm not just going to tell you something. I'm going to show you. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What kind of answer is this? Well, if we break it down, here's all the little parts. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament prophets. He's mainly quoting Isaiah because there are many prophecies in the Bible about this person that the Jews called the Messiah. And here's some of what Isaiah said in different verses. These are passages that the Jewish people accept and believe are about their Messiah, about the one who is to come, the anointed one, the one who God has prepared. And if you take a look, Isaiah 35, 5, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame, those who can't walk, will leap like a deer. And the mute, so those who can't speak, will shout for joy. In Isaiah 26, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Who? The Messiah will do that. Isaiah 26, 19, your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. Who will do that? The Messiah. So if we take a look at these things, they match up. Jesus is saying, you want to know who I am? You're not sure who I am? You want to know, am I the one who is to come? I'm not the one preparing the way. Take a look at what you see. The blind receive sight. Who's going to do that? The Messiah. The lame will walk. Who's going to do that? The Messiah, the Holy One who is to come. Those who have leprosy will be cleansed. This one is more Jewish belief, confirmed in the Old Testament that only God. This leprosy is not seen as a skin disease, an external thing. It's seen as a sin disease. And the only one who could heal the sin disease made evident by leprosy was God. Who's going to heal that? Only God. And Jesus is saying, I'm healing that. The deaf hear. Who are you told is going to do that? The Messiah. The dead are raised. Who's doing that now? I am. And who have you been told will do that? The Messiah. And Jesus is proclaiming the good news, the gospel in Greek. He's proclaiming the good news. Who's going to do that? The Messiah. Jesus is saying to John's followers, John wants to know who I am. Am I this messenger? Take a look at the evidence of what you see. You know your scriptures. You know what God has promised. I am the fulfillment of those promises. I'm the one you are to expect. Not the messenger. I'm the Lord who follows the messenger. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Who did you go into the wilderness to see? Because the crowds had gone to see John. A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you. And more than a prophet. He's talking about John. You see, John was a little bit confused. He's in prison. And we began all of this with John sending his disciples, asking Jesus. We began this by John sending his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come?" Because I think John was wondering if Jesus was the messenger, the one who's preparing the way before the Lord comes. Because earlier, well, later in the Bible, a different book of the Bible, in John chapter 1:21, the priests and Levites had gone to John and they asked John, "Who are you?" The same thing he's asking Jesus, "Who are you?" And John, well, they'd gone to John and said, "Are you Elijah? Are you the Elijah who is to come?" In other words, are you the messenger? Are you telling us, are you the one that God is sending to prepare the way? To tell us that God himself is going to come back to us? And John had answered, "No, I'm not." But here, John is being told by Jesus, "John, I'm not the messenger." Jesus is telling John, "I'm not the messenger preparing the way for God. You are. And if you want to know who I am, I'm the one that comes after you. I'm the one who's greater than you. I am God returning to his people." So Jesus says that John, this John, is the one about whom it is written in Malachi, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." And if you take a look in Malachi, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Jesus was asked by John, "Who are you?" John's confused. We're not sure why he's confused, but he's not sure of who he is, and he's not sure who Jesus is. He's sitting in prison now. He's probably experiencing a lot of doubts. But Jesus informs John, "Look, I'm not the messenger. You don't think you're the messenger, but you are. You're the one who was to prepare the way before the Lord's return. Who am I?" Read your Bible. The Bible tells you who I am. I am the fulfillment of the promises of God. I am the one Isaiah and all the prophets spoke about. You have been preparing the way before me. I am the Messiah. And Jesus goes on, verse 11, and he says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and law prophesied until John." And he says that if you will accept it, he is. Yeah, I think the text is cut off there. But if you take a look at verse 14, it says that John is the Isaiah that is to come. He is the messenger that will prepare the way. Even though in John 1:21, John denies it, Jesus is telling him, "No, this is you. You are the messenger who is to come. You are Isaiah. If you will accept it, this is true. So what we have now, we have in this passage, the reason it's an Advent passage, the reason it's part of the passage that we look at as we're expectantly waiting, as we look back to the expectant waiting for Jesus. This is John expectantly waiting. He's not even sure for what. But Jesus tells him, you're not just part of the waiting, you're part of the story. You're the messenger who prepares the way before the Messiah, before the one that God has promised. And I, Jesus, am the one who was promised. We know how that story ends. We know that Jesus is the Messiah. We sing about it at Christmas. We know that God kept his promise. We know that the Jewish people had been waiting 400 years for their Messiah to return. And we know that God answered that prayer, that hope, that expectation. But more than all of that, God answered his own promise. He said he was going to come. And the Jews were growing desperate because it had been 400 years. But God answered that promise. He came in a baby, born of a virgin. The Messiah was born to the Jewish people. God returned to them. We know that God answered that promise. And so, even though we talk about Advent, expectant waiting, we know that the waiting was answered. We know that God answered that promise. But here's the thing. That was not the only promise God made. There are still promises that have not been answered. Because Jesus came 2,000 years ago in the form of a baby. And he was born, grew up. There's no beauty or majesty that people might look upon him. But in the end, he was crucified on a cross by sinful men. But he rose again to show that death had no hold on him. He rose again to pay our price, to demonstrate that he was who he said he was. But this is what it says in the book of Acts. And again, it's interesting because it starts with talking about John. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized. This is Jesus speaking. You will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not saying the Holy Spirit did not exist before, but he's saying that the Holy Spirit will baptize them. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you in this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this going to be the end? What we've been waiting for? What we think you're all about? And Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And by the way, we're part of the fulfillment of that. Our people are in the ends of the world. After he said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So Jesus was lifted up into the sky. And as his disciples were looking up into the sky, wondering, marveling at what they saw. Two men suddenly appeared to them dressed in white, which is one of the ways that angels are often described. And the angels say to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." So our story does not end with the birth of Jesus or even the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus rises and he appears to his followers, and the angels tell his followers, look, this Jesus who walked among you, who proved to you by many signs and miracles that he was the Messiah, and who you now have seen lifted up into heaven, he's going to come back the same way. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we are told what this return will look like, because Jesus had left his disciples being lifted up into the air. And we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that we who believe in Jesus will rise from the dead as Jesus rose. According to the Lord's word, according to the Lord's promises, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming, the return of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. We will not go before those who have died already. And now we hear how Jesus will return. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven." So in the book of Acts, we heard how Jesus was lifted up into heaven. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So where it talks in that earlier verse about those who are living will not precede, will not go before those who have died, here we're seeing what that means. But the dead in Christ, those who believe in Christ and are buried, will rise first. And they are going to go up into the air to meet Christ. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds. I have no idea what that's going to look like. And in those clouds, we are going to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. As we talk about Advent, as we talk about Jesus' promises, God's promises made in the Old Testament, talking about Jesus coming, those promises were fulfilled. They were answered. God keeps his word. As we sang about, he is faithful. What he says, we can trust. What he says he will do, he will do. Even though the Jews waited 400 years, God answered the prayer in his time. And now, we await other promises that God has made. The same Jesus who we saw lifted up in the air after his resurrection from the dead. We're told that he will return. Going back to that prophecy of Malachi, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere, who love my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. and you will go out and frolic, jump for joy, like a well-fed calf. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. John the Baptist was the Elijah that was promised. Jesus was the Lord returning, but Jesus did not do this yet. Jesus came as a child, grew up among us. We saw him. We saw what he did. He was taken by evil men, crucified, but he rose again on the third day, and he appeared before many hundreds. And then he was lifted up into the air. And now we await the remainder of the promise, this remainder of the promise. We know that our world is not perfect. We know that there is death. We know that there is hatred. We know that there is hurt. We know that there is illness. We know that there are so many things that make us cry. We know that children argue with their parents. We know that parents argue with each other. We know that divorces happen. We know that there's so much brokenness here. And in our hearts, we should feel hurt at those things, because those are not the way things are meant to be. But we are told that God will return and he will make things right. That the same Jesus that we sing about, that was God's answer to prophecy, the same Jesus will return to finish things. And I want to suggest to you that this Advent season, as we look back on Jesus 2,000 years ago, and we see how God answered his promises, but the promises that he made, he kept. He was faithful. And all those people, like John the Baptist, who had doubts and questions, God answered them by fulfilling his promise, even though for them it had been a long wait. God answered his promise. He is faithful. What he says, he will do. But God has remaining promises. God tells us that he will return, that we do not live today without hope, that God himself will return. And as we're in this season of Advent, we are looking back at Jesus' birth to remind us how that expectant waiting was answered in the birth of Jesus. But we're also looking ahead, because there are promises that have been made that God has not kept yet. And we're waiting for that. But if God was faithful then, if what God promised before he answered, we should have faith. We should have trust that what God promises now, what we are waiting for, it too will come to pass. We might feel like we've been waiting for a long time, but God is not slow in keeping his promises. God will answer in his time. And we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, but we do know that each day we are one day closer to that return. So we began with some announcements, including death, including talk about pain and brokenness. But we are people of hope. We are people that know that no matter what darkness we live in today, no matter what darkness we see around us, that God is in control, that God is in charge, and that what God promises is good at the end. Great, wonderful goodness. And we look forward to that. We should not be afraid. We know that God answered his promises before, and he will answer them again. Why don't we close in a prayer? Heavenly Father, what a wonderful time of year to sing Christmas carols, songs that are full of joy, full of peace, in a world that is full of darkness. And God, we are looking forward to the ultimate fulfillment of that joy and peace, your return. And all this we just lift up to you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And if I may make a quick announcement, this Christmas season is also a lonely one for many people. So on January 10th, we're having kind of an informal, fun, just kind of games night. And really who this is aimed for is it's really aimed at international students, people who are here who didn't have a chance to return home. Because over the Christmas season, when we're with our families and everyone goes home and the schools are all empty, there's students who are left behind. There's students that didn't have the money, the time, the ability to go home. And when the schools are empty, they can feel incredibly lonely. So we've got a gathering for students on April 10th. And if any of you are available, you too might feel loneliness, but you're to be the light of the world. What we want for these students is an opportunity to see the light of Christ, the love of Christ that is for all people, and to help them to draw closer to that. So if you're available, let me know. This is going to be some fun, some games, and hopefully a chance to meet some international students. And if you have any friends who are internationals and they're here over the holidays, invite them.
Turn it over to Christine. Where is it, Pastor Johnson?
It's going to be at Morningstar at Shepherd and Morningside, and it's going to be January.